So Hare Krishna, I want to welcome you for the main day of our Sangha Mela. This is of course the day when the calendar year changes from the old year to the new year. And it's a day where many of us are thinking back and looking back at the old year and looking also a little bit towards the new year. When we look back, we see what we did, or we most probably only feel what is still in the heart. You know, we feel, oh, this year, that last year was such and such a year. We thought that at such a Weggabelung, road crossing of the old road moving towards the new road, it's good to have a mela, a festival where devotees come together and hear about Krishna and remind each other just by their presence or when they exchange words, they remind each other of the central focus of their lives, that is to become Krishna conscious. So this day is a very, very, we have thought, let us spend it in the most Krishna conscious way which we can imagine in our tradition. And the idea which was born from this thought, let us really see how we can make it a very Krishna conscious day, was to make an akanda kirtan. Akanda means cut, and akanda means not cut. That means an uninterrupted kirtan. It will start at 11 o'clock, I heard, and it will go up till 11 o'clock in the night. And then I request you really to be there. Then we will have a very interesting guided exercise which will help us to make the next year. We will look into the next year really in this exercise, and it is an exercise, it's a very spiritual and Krishna conscious exercise. It has to do with Vrindavan and Radha Syam Sunda, and it will help us and empower us to discover our glowing yes. You know, our motivation, our inspiration, our driving force, or our source of strength, you could say, which will accompany us through the year 2000, calendar year 2012, and yes, hopefully for the rest of the life. But let us stay with 1 year, and then we meet again after a year has passed. As you have said, as you have noted, that is a ceremony of festival surrounding the calendar year. But we also arrange at the present moment a kirtan mela, which will take place when the real change of years, or our change of years, when our Krishna conscious world takes place, that is, will be a kirtan mela in Sridhar Mayapur. It will be just before Gopunim. You know, for us who are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, who orient ourselves more towards Gauranga and not so exclusively on Jesus and the Christian calendar, we see that the turn of the year takes place at Gauranga's appearance day, that is Gurupunim. We hold like this because he is our all and everything, and therefore before his appearance we think this the old year, before the appearance and after his appearance, that's the new year. That's how we view it. But still, calendar year is calendar year. So therefore, we are also celebrating on this. You know, a Krishna conscious devotee should be universal, and he's And the way he is universal is he celebrates everywhere and every good opportunity he celebrates. Good. So I thought we should end the katha on Kaliya because now Krishna will start to work his magic. Up till now he has just awoken or elicit or called forward the feelings of his devotees, but now he will respond to the feelings of his devotees. It will, an ocean of rasa will start to flow. You will see.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anugrinishva Bhagavan Pranangstva Jatipa Nagaha Srinam na Sadhu Shochanam Pati Prana Pradiyatam Anugrinishva Bhagavan Pranangstva Jatipa Nagaha Strinam Nah Sadhu Shochanam Pati Prana Pradiyatam.
Okay, then I will. We have a little time this morning. So, Anigri Anugrish Grishnishva. Please show mercy. Bhagavan. O Supreme Lord. Pranan. His life heirs. Tvajati. Is giving up. Panagaha, the serpent. Strinam, four women. Naha, us. Sadhusochanam. Is proper that sadhus give us mercy. Patihi, the husband. Pranaha, life itself, pradiyatam, should be given back. So this is a prayer by the wives of Kaliya, which will come up a little bit later in the text. But since it is just so wonderful, I will read it to you in English. O Supreme Lord, please be merciful. It is proper for the saintly to feel compassion towards us. This serpent is about to give up his life. Please give us back Kaliya, who is our life and soul. You know, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine
Nirvishesha shunyavadi paskadya izatadine Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Govakta Vrinda Vanshakalpataru Vaishya Kripa Sindhu Bhaivacha Paditanam Vavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So, my dear devotees, I would just like to give you a brief summary which will help us to come up to the text where it is presently, or where we are presently, and then go into the katha. We all have heard the last 2 days that this Leela which we hear has two dimensions to it. One dimension is just the pastime of Krishna as it flows through the land of Braj, and as it flows through the heart of all his devotees. You know, Krishna's pastimes are always flowing through the heart of his devotees. We have heard now some intense relationships to Krishna and his cowherd boys, his parents, the cows, and practically all the plants and all the living beings in Braj. You remember Krishna had entered the dangerous and very deep lake where Kaliya, the serpent with 1,000 and more hoods, lived. He had gone there to save Braj and his devotees from the poison, the dangerous, deadly poison which was brought into Braj by this Kaliya. Now, as devotees of Krishna, we understand that this is one dimension, the Leela itself. It's the most important dimension. But the Leela, since it is an activity of God, has many, many dimensions, and you could, for instance, analyze it according to rasa, just according to the relationships of Krishna to his devotees, and that would give an entire different story, entirely different emphasis would be there. The way it is discussed here, this during the Sangha Mela, is that this Leela focuses on the metaphorical dimension where we understand all of a sudden that the lake in Vrindavan, the deep lake in which Kaliya was spreading his poison, is not just a lake in the spiritual, in the world of Vrindavan. No, it finds its equivalent in our heart, the lake of our heart, where also sometimes due to the age of Kali, the dark age of Kali, Kaliya, who belongs to this age, takes shelter and spreads its poison. We have heard how that is when Kaliya enters the lake of the heart and spreads its poison. It will, the heart will turn black as the night, hard as iron, and there will be a response to Kaliya's presence. You will feel the unquenchable tendency to criticize others, born of arrogant pride, and deceit and cruelty and malice. Good. So Krishna had now entered this heart, or this lake, and now there will be a confrontation when darkness comes. When light comes into darkness, there is a struggle. You will now see what happens. I feel that all of us, at least those whom I know here in this room, have at times confronted this struggle. They have done excellently well, or middle well, or they have failed also in the struggle. When Krishna comes in the heart, all our dirty stuff comes out. Have you noticed that? And sometimes you say, in Krishna consciousness, I feel more critical. I was not so critical before Krishna consciousness. I'm more lusty. I was a normal German, or normal Belgium person, or normal person from the Balkan. But all of a sudden, joop, I don't know what happened to me. Kali has come out. And that's necessary. He needs to come out and needs to go, ultimately. My dear devotee, Krishna had remained in the coils, that is, the omamuk, I would even say, that of Kaliya, for one full muhurta. Do you know what that is? 48 minutes, that's almost eine Dreiviertelstunde. That's a long, long time. But then something happened. Balaram called out for him. Because, remember, he had tried to keep the bridge Basis from entering the lake, and they would die, from the poison. But now the situation was going out of hand. So he understood Krishna must now do something. So he turned to Krishna, and with a loud and strong voice, which went over all the noise which was going on, all the fainting, all the crying, all the birds, losing their life and whatever, Balaram's voice was there. Hey Krishna! These are not the people who live with you in Vaikuntha. These are not the monkeys who assisted you in your pastime when you came as Ramachandra in Treta Yuga. No! They are also not the Yadavas who live with you in Dwaraka, in your island kingdom. These are your own family members in Goloka. You are the only life of these people here who watch them as they are falling into the lake and as they are crying and as they repeatedly lose consciousness. And I must tell you, Krishna, there is nothing I can do to stop them from dying. My dear Krishna, you have a very friendly and gentle and soft nature. If you don't stop this pastime now, your soft heart will come to grief, because you will have to see how all those whom you love will be dead and gone. Hey Krishna! This is Krishna heard it. Then he just whispered in a soft voice, listen, Kaliya, you have shown me enough of your strengths. It's enough now. Now I will show you a little of my own prowess, although I'm just a cowherd boy. And then he expanded himself and broke free from the embrace or from the Würgegriff, I'm Würgegriff, the stranglehold, you say in English. The Würgegriff, I think German is a better language when it comes to Würgen and such things, He broke free from the Würgegriff, And then he cast a loving glance at the Brijbasis. And that's all the Brijbasis needed to see. Krishna looking at them with love. When Krishna, however, expanded, Kaliya was tormented. It is described in the 16th chapter. His coils were tormented by the expanding body of the Lord. This Shukadev Goswami talks about this. Kaliya had to release him. In great anger, the serpent raised his hoofs high and stood still, breathing heavily. Have you ever been in India attacked by a cobra? No, Radha Krishna? Then you're missing a strong emotional experience in your life. You know, when it's all right when they go on the floor, then you can somehow, they're coming. But you know, it's no longer all right when they go like zzzk. They're trembling a little bit, and then they start making the sound. And you can see how they're just preparing for the deadly bite, because they are now, accumulating all their anger. It goes in their teeth, and then the muscle, which has to contract and push the poison out of the little hole in the teeth. You know, they go like, and then they tremble. Just run, or I heard the Gurukul boys in Mayapur, they are so powerful, they take a stick, and then the first thing you have to do is you have to take the stick and don't beat it like this, you have to beat it. I have learned all this, but I have a love for details and what to do. You have to engage it in fighting. You have to go like this and then hit it in the stomach, and then hit it up in the air, because then when the snake is in the air, he loses its orientation. He doesn't know where you are standing and how to move towards you. And then when the snake comes down, at that moment you have to attack and hit it on the head. That particular moment you have to kung. And that's what the boys in Mayapur do. Hare Krishna. Maybe if the snake attacks, better you run to one of these boys, It may be a little bit too much to confront it. I don't know if I could do it. I don't. Maybe when it would attack Gaurahari, then I would do it. So the serpent, this is the point now, first felt tormented, and then it stared at Krishna, hissing strongly to get ready for the attack. Again and again, Shukadev Goswami says, Kaliya licked his lips with his bifurcated tongues, gespaltene Zungen, as he stared at Krishna with a glance full of terrible, poisonous fire. Sanatana Goswami is the only acharya, I've learned this from Madhava Nanda Prabhu, who writes an interesting purport. He says Kaliya was angry out of affection. And because the Lord was just so beautiful, he couldn't help himself but stare at him. So he makes a loving atmosphere out of this. So, but Kaliya, as he looked at Krishna, his heart was afflicted by Krishna's effulgence. You know, this is what, when the poison is there, what is nice you see as bad, and what is bad by the influence of the poison, you see it's nice. And his anger grew, that he produced more and more poison, and he grew tall like a mountain. Like, when the snakes get up, have you seen them? As they raise their hood, so So he became tall as a mountain and just stared at Krishna. Do you know what Krishna did? In response, no, Krishna began to playfully circle around him. He was playing, just as Garuda would play with a snake. In response, Kaliya also moved around, looking for an opportunity to bite the Lord. But whenever Kaliya came close, Krishna went into the opposite direction, and the Kaliya had to follow him. And finally, because, you know, whenever it came clear, came close, Krishna was in the other direction. Finally, he was so exhausted that he gave up. That he couldn't really go. Do you know of the famous fight between Cassius Clay, alias Muhammad Ali, and Max Schmeling? Have you followed that in detail? No. No? Hare Krishna. It's maybe not important then. I'm learning from you what is important. You know, in that very famous fight, Muhammad Ali let the German boxer, it was for world championship, Max Schmeling, just fight, and exhaust himself fully. And when he was exhausted, then Muhammad started and finished him very easily. So Krishna apparently is the origin of this stratagem. He circled around, Kaliya ran after him and was very exhausted. And there is a reason why Krishna chose this strategy. You know, at the Krishna had a change of mind. In the beginning, his first intention was to show his own expertise in fighting. But then something changed. Krishna saw, well, this is an excellent opportunity to dance. And his heart turned towards dancing. Shiva came at that time and accompanied him on his drum. When Kaliya was a little exhausted, Krishna pulled down the raised heads of the snake, and as the Adi Guru of all fine arts, including the art of dancing, he started to dance. And you shouldn't be surprised, an expert dancer likes to dance on moving objects. Like when you see the dancers, the Bharatanatyam dancers, they sometimes dance on a plate, you know, like a prasadam plate. They dance on it, and then they dance on the talis, you know, on the not talis, what is it called, the small things, katoris, the little balls, because it is an opportunity to show their skills and on special objects. So Krishna thought, I'm a dancer and I want to dance on the unsteady moving surface of the serpent's head. I want to dance there. It is my pleasure. So his lotus feet, with his lotus feet, he just took one of the heads and then lifted him up and started to dance. And as we heard, all the devatas brought their instruments and started to produce this rhythm. Tai tai! Tai tai! Tai tai! This is how Krishna danced. I mean, it was really something, or it is something. You know, I was a little shy to dance before you, because I'm not God. Who am I? And then, when Krishna was in the midst of, you know, really in the dance, he just saw, my gopis are there. They are standing all around the lake of Kaliya, and they are watching me with a smile. Why should I dance alone? Since all this time, the gopis had looked for an opportunity to be together with me. There is no more extraordinary meeting place than on the hoods of this demon. And he extended his hands, and unseen by the elders of Braj, the gopis all, with great face, because they loved Krishna so much. And you can see they only had seen him from the windows of their doors, of their houses. And they had longed for the moment to be together with Krishna. So now where Krishna gave the sign, come, the gopis said, of course I come. I don't know if you know between lovers, when they have first years maybe of loving emotions in their hearts, and finally one of them opens the arms and then the other flies into the arms. That's natural, no? So Krishna just went like this as he was dancing, and the gopis didn't think, this is maybe a little shaky, the ground, you know, or this is maybe a little unsafe, or maybe it's not so private, you know, everyone looks. They just, Krishna opened his arms, that was enough. Shoop, they all came and, let's dance, you know, let's dance. And they danced. And the devatas try to also dance, because when Krishna was dancing, they said, we can also dance a little. But they couldn't keep up with Krishna. Krishna's dance was just so beautiful. So they decided, let us just offer some music for this. We will sing along. And they showered flowers. All the Brijbasis saw, there were rains of flowers coming down on Krishna as he was dancing. And Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, looked at Krishna and started to smile. My boy is really extraordinary. You know, he dances. You know, and this act of dancing was the best and only thing Krishna could do, Dinadayal, to bring the Brijbasis who were as good as dead back to life. You know, they were just dying. And Krishna must have signaled, let's not be mental, you know, let's dance, you know. And it was just, it is said, the happiness of Nanda's heart on that day spread like the rays of the sun throughout all of the universe, because he was so happy about Krishna being, first of all, released from what everyone thought was his death. He had not moved for one muhurta, as you know. Huh? Now he was really moving. And it was just one wonderful. When Kaliya felt the dance of the lotus feet of Krishna on his head, first of all, he resisted this. He had been very proud. But Krishna started to dance, it is described, with two attributes. One was with anger. But then with great joy and pleasure, as he was dancing with the gopis. And his, you know, there was force in it. The Lord was angry. You have poisoned the lake. You have killed so many of my Brijbasis. There was anger there, yes. But there was also joy in his heart. So with his anger, he crushed the head. the heads of Kaliya were first broken, and he came out of shape. And then the pride was just beaten out of him by the steps of Krishna. And finally, he surrendered, and he whispered, "I am yours, I am yours." He first prayed to Narayan, because remember, he was a devotee. He was the remembrance came back. Because you must know, he was married with two Vaishnavis. And these Nagapatnis, they are called, had told their husband about the qualities of Krishna. But due to his pride, Kaliya really had not listened to them. But now, due to the touch of Krishna's lotus feet on his head, he got so purified, and his offenses got neutralized, that the seed of bhakti, which was placed there by the Nagapatnis, you know, it was a seed. They had told him about Krishna. It was only a seed. He had not cultivated this bhakti, which his wives, you know, explained to him. But now, because Krishna's lotus feet were on his head, and second of all, his offense against whom? Garuda, against the Vaishnava, was neutralized by Krishna. The bhakti started. And the wives, you know, when it started the dance, they thought, "Let him die! Let him die, this rascal!" They didn't have a very, very wife-like emotions towards him, you know. But as they watched their husband, and they knew him good, you know, they had many children together, little snakes. Huh? You know, they understood that there was a transformation in Kaliya's heart. Kaliya, who was previously so proud that he even went against God, developed dinata, that is a humble feeling which comes when one feels like a low creature, because one begins to understand sorry for something, one is afraid of something, and one is ashamed that one has made an offense. Kaliya went into this mood. Prabhupada writes about this. When unhappiness, fear, and a sense of having offended combine, you know, unhappiness, I'm feeling so sorry, and I'm afraid, you know, of this material life, and a sense that I have made a mistake, I have offended. When they combine, one feels condemned. This sense of condemnation is described as dinata, the feeling of true humility. And then something happened. The Nagapatnis offered their prayers. One of these prayers you have heard today, but let us chant it again. Anugrinisha Bhagavan. Pranang stvajati panaga, strinam na sadusho chanam, bhati prana pradiyatam. O Supreme Lord, please be merciful. It is proper for the saintly, and you are so saintly, to feel compassion for women like us. This serpent is about to give up his life. Please, he's not so bad. Please give us back our husband, who is our life and soul. Maybe the Nagapatis also thought, well, if he dies now, we will be widows, and maybe we have to remarry another sinful snake, you know. So better keep up with him. They also said, "O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kaliya has attained this great opportunity of being touched by the dust of your lotus feet. You know, all the devotees want to have the lotus feet of Krishna and the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna on their head. Isn't it, Ford? No. Yes. We want this. Radha Kripa, wouldn't that be nice? Then all our long journey, which is maybe still before us, it's not a long, a short journey, hopefully, that would become very easy, you know. Imagine you would get the lotus feet of Krishna on your head, Ananda Vardhan, and the dust. You would no longer think of time waver. Not bad to think of time, Veva. I'm just saying, you know, you would be totally Krishna conscious. You would be ecstatic. You would be truly Ananda Vardhan, an ocean of ever-expanding bliss. So the Nagapadnis rightfully say, for this end, to get this mercy, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all other desires and taking austere vows, you know. Lakshmi herself went to this Bilvan, and she is still there meditating, still there. When it gets cold, the Brijbasis come with Khichdi and feed Lakshmi because she does so much austerity. And now the cold season comes, it's in December, and they go and say, eat something which heats your system up, you know, otherwise you die. And she does this since time immemorial. She's still there. So therefore the Brijbasis come over that ponton bridge, you know, and bring their khichdi. Because she has not yet reached Krishna. And this demon who attacked Krishna, Krishna dances with his lotus feet on all his heads. What happened? So, yes, so they offered prayers. And when Krishna was really in a playful mood, there was all, Kaliya heard his wives praying to Krishna. I don't know if you are, can imagine you are a husband, and you know, and you have just ended a fight, and you have lost, and then your wife starts praying to the enemy who has defeated you. You know, you are so good. That's heavy. That's heavy on the ego, you know. So it is said the last traces of pride, they call it the vestiges of pride, you know, the last remnants of pride went out of Kaliya's heart when he heard his wives standing and offering prayers. We don't know what this demon has done so that you have touched him with his lotus feet, you know. He was Hare Krishna. Kaliya was almost unconscious. His head was battered by the striking of the Lord's lotus feet. He could not even bow down because he was so finished. So he merely folded his hands and he could not speak in a loud voice out of pain. Not many have heard Kaliya's prayers. Only Krishna, maybe his one wife who was nearby. But that's another story with this wife. So he just whispered and he said, I'm yours. I'm really. Our very birth as a snake has made me envy. so envious. By my birth, I'm ignorant. And by my birth, I'm constantly angry. Oh, my Lord. It is so difficult for people like us to give up our conditioned nature by which we identify with that which is unreal. Do you sometimes feel like that when you stand before Krishna? It's so difficult for me to give up my conditioned nature. Do you feel like that or never? It's so difficult. And you feel like, why am I always like this? Why do I always try to correct everyone? Why do I think I am so great and everyone is lower than me? Why? My conditioned nature, I always want to praise myself. Why? Is there any reason? Even when I come in the association of devotees, I don't want to bow down. Ah, is it difficult? Is it difficult? If it's difficult. You know, in Germany we say, I will translate it so that it doesn't sound so aggressive, I could kick myself in the behind. You know, it's so terrible what I am, you know. And Kaliya continued very, he was awakening from his the effects of his offenses. He said, Krishna, you created various kinds of personalities. You created the different species of life. And you gave them all their particular strengths. How can anyone give up that nature? You have given it to them. Only, and then Kaliya came to this point, only you are the cause for freedom from illusion. Only you can take back what you have given. That's what he says. You have given me the conditioned nature with which I'm now acting, and it is up to you and only you to take this conditioned nature away from me. It's a wonderful prayer, wonderful thought also. Only you can take back what you have given. What a point! What a point! You have caused my bondage. Please free me. This is what he says. And then he says very humbly, just listen to this, Kaliya. Please arrange for either your mercy or your punishment. Both is all right for me. And Madhvacharya commented here. What is the nature of a devotee? You know, if you have done something bad, you should not say now be just causelessly. You can say be causelessly kind to me, but the way Krishna chooses his kindness, you have to accept it. The way he chooses to correct you, just you individually, you have to say, all right. Madhvacharya says, one who simply accepts whatever punishment the Lord gives as mercy. Yes, you punish me, but that is your mercy. That person gets the real mercy. Others remain envious. You know, when you have done something wrong in your devotional service and you now pray to Krishna, you now turn to Krishna, sometimes you might get something which looks externally like a punishment. In other words, a difficult situation in your life. But if you now start, after turning to Krishna, revolt again, why did you give this to me? I prayed for lassi and you gave me chili. You know, I don't know the preparation so good. I prayed for sweet lassi and you gave me salty lassi. Yeah. I wanted sweet lassi and you gave me salty lassi. I don't accept this. Here, take your lassi back. You know, This is not how a devotee reacts when the Lord chooses to show His mercy in the form of a corrective measures, eine Korrekturmaßnahme, in other words. And then Krishna blessed Kaliya. Go back to the ocean with all your people. This Yamuna River belongs to the Brajbasis, to the humans, the cows. If one bathes in this place, and if one remembers and worships me, one will become free from sinful reactions. Kaliya, people will come here in the future. Some will belong to ISKCON, and they will bathe here, and they will meditate and worship. But if you are here, they can't come. They will be afraid. So don't worry. I have danced on your head. It's marked with the imprints of my lotus feet. They will remain there. And the one who has given you trouble, Garuda, will respect that this is a person who is marked by Krishna. And he will not touch you. So everything was over. But Kaliya, who was now becoming back in his devotional mood, the pride and the envy was driven out. It's made like this. 8 minutes. 1 minute. Before you go to those you love most, 1 minute, please. I beg you, give me 1 minute. Krishna said, okay, do what you wish to do. So Kaliya had burned Krishna's soft body with his poison by spitting fire from his fangs. And now he took Krishna on an island in the lake, and along with his wives, he rubbed cooling sandalwood paste over his body. Everyone offered Krishna fine garments, necklaces, jewels, and other valuable ornaments. And they smeared beautiful perfume on his body and put a large garland of Yamuna lotus flowers, which they had quickly made, around Krishna's body. Why lotus flowers? Because they cool. And Kaliya, you know, had given so much fire to Krishna. My dear devotees, I want to address now those of you who are feeling devotion in their heart for Krishna. To dress Krishna is a very devotional activity. You can see the Shishirada Madan Mohan, how beautifully they are dressed. Have you noticed? Since the time of our Sangha Mela, every day they are dressed just so fascinatingly and gorgeously, and so on. And sometimes a devotee should meditate about dressing Krishna. Prabhupada spoke about this. You should start with the lotus feet. When you meditate first about Krishna's lotus feet, something happens in your heart. You will start to think what would be the proper action. Feet are for action, huh? And you will control some things in your life which are not in order. You know the rays of light which come from Krishna's lotus feet can destroy all the darkness. Krishna has 10 nails on his lotus feet, and each one is a moon. Imagine a night with 10 moons. the light of the moons will destroy the darkness. So when a devotee thinks of Krishna's lotus feet, and maybe thinks of serving the lotus feet of Krishna, these 10 moons will arise in his heart. And these moons are not waning and waxing, you know, suname and upname, no. And they also have no moon craters, you know, these the things. The light from Krishna's lotus feet is very powerful. Therefore, you should meditate about Krishna's lotus feet. Or when you see the deities, look at Krishna's lotus feet. Look at the moons. Devotees who want to dress Krishna should also put a tiger claw pendant on his chest. Because the tiger claw pendant makes the devotee fearless. It reminds us, his bhaktas, on how the Lord once took the form of a lion to protect his bhakta Prahlad. Just to think about giving Krishna his tiger pendant ornament, tiger claw, tiger krallen ornament, you know, that destroys all the fear from your heart. It makes you fearless and free from anger and all maya. Krishna is decorated so nicely, and Kaliya, when he said 1 minute, he wanted to decorate Krishna. And Krishna responded to this decoration. He knew that Kaliya wanted to serve him before he would send him out. So while he was dancing, he took his Kustubha Mani. Kustubha Mani is a red ruby-like ornament which he wears on the chest. It has the form of a calf. So he took that, and he just when he was dancing and no one looked, he threw it. And he threw it that it just landed in the treasury of Kaliya. So when the wives in Kaliya came and let's decorate Krishna, let's decorate him. They went to the treasury and thought, wow, look at this jewel. It was Krishna's jewel from the beginning, the Kustubha Mani. They thought, let's give that to Krishna. We didn't know that we have such a good jewel in our possession. Krishna is very sensitive, very. So he did that. Then finally Krishna returned. Would you like to hear about the return of Krishna to the Brijbasis? It is said by some commentators that Krishna asked Kaliya, so how will I get from the island to the shore, please? Kaliya said, no problem. I will carry you. No, 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 they will all be afraid. Well, then I will carry you. I will be under the waters of the Jamuna. No one will see me, and you will just come over the water. You know. So Krishna said, TK. All right. So Kaliya went under the water. Krishna climbed on top of the hoods, and he came to the Brijbasis, who saw Krishna just not swimming over the Yamuna, just coming. fully dressed, fully cleaned, fully bedecked with necklaces and ornaments. And what paste? Do you remember the paste? Sandalwood paste. You know everything. So Krishna rose, Shukadev Goswami describes this. Krishna rose out of the lake wearing divine garlands, fragrances, and garments, and covered with many fine jewels and decorated with gold. When the cowherds saw him, they all stood up immediately, just like an unconscious person's senses coming back to life. Filled with great joy, they affectionately embraced him. First Yashoda, she embraced Krishna and her breast milk just came like a river. Nanda Maharaj embraced him. And they made great noise. They were so happy that their limbs started to shake and quiver. They spoke in broken words and they wept. But they could not become completely satisfied when they looked at Krishna. Because Krishna was so beautiful. And they said, "Oh, senses, you know, become a little bit more stronger, please." And so on. Do you want to know how the friends of Lord Krishna reacted? Their black, white eyes filled up with tears. Then their body began to shake as if they were dancing from joy. Then they embraced Krishna and they became so full of joy that they forgot who they were and could not identify themselves any longer. By the way, this is the highest end of love. When in the experience of love of God, one forgets that here I am loving Krishna, who's there, but one becomes one. Now listen to this. This is different than you thought when you come from the Mayavadi school. They become, all their emotions become one with the taste of the love which is there. The highest example for this is Srimati Radhika, and Krishna could not understand what it means to become to become totally absorbed in the experience of the taste of love for him, and therefore came as Chaitanya. So these cowherd boyfriends, they couldn't identify themselves any longer. They were absorbed in the taste of love for Krishna. So all the Brijbasis, and we will end here, came around Krishna. They put him in the center like a lost treasure which they had regained. Krishna shone amongst his devotees like the sun shines amongst the different planets. The brahmanas invoked auspiciousness and gave Krishna their blessings. Kanai, this was intense. But may you live long, you know, may no trouble come to you. And do you need to make such pastimes? Krishna. No, this they didn't say, but it was intense. So I want to just say at the end that this Leela stands out amongst all the demon-killing Leelas of Krishna. Because here, Krishna did not kill his opponent, but he removed the pride which had and the aggression and the wickedness and turned against him and cured him. Kaliya said later to Krishna, "My dear Krishna, previously I was initiated into the Krishna mantra by Ananta Shesha, my guru. And since that time I always meditated upon you. By your mercy, I have now become part of your family." I think we should all feel like that. We may have some, I will speak now a bad word, some stuff still in us, some impurities. This is how we say. We are before entering the family of Krishna. We are not yet so qualified to enter the family of Krishna. But we can turn to Krishna nevertheless and ask him to remove our private Kaliya out of the heart. I said this yesterday, but I want to say it again. Krishna usually kills the demons in an expansion. What is the expansion called? Vasudev. But here, he himself dealt with Kaliya directly. What is the proof for this? Sorry? He danced. Yeah, that is in other expansions and incarnations, the Lord is not so eager to dance. Only Krishna is. This is a specific quality of Krishna. He just likes to dance. Therefore, his devotees also try to dance for his pleasure. It's very important. He's the Lord of dance. So if you want to please him, dance. Dance more. It's a nice concept, isn't it? The Lord of dance needs to be pleased by our dancing. And it is said, Krishna, only Krishna is together with the gopis. No other form of God, no other expansion of God is together with the gopis. Only Krishna. He invited them to dance more. So this is the Kaliya Damana Leela. I really encourage you to read this beautiful Leela. It is spread over a few chapters of the Bhagavatam. It's an important Leela, in other words. The other Leelas just are getting a few verses, and it's described, you know, this demon came and he opened his mouth and Krishna did something, and then the demon was on the ground and gave up his life. This goes on over a few chapters because it's important. It's important for you to hear this Leela, to understand it, and to one day maybe arrive at the place where you can pray like Rupa Goswami, who said to Krishna, Krishna, you have killed this one demon, Kaliya. Good, good, good. But I think you should not restrict your Leela of killing the Kaliya demon to this one time, because there's another Kaliya in my heart. Please come and dance there. Dance in my heart, my Lord. And then this Kaliya will be driven out. I think it's a nice Leela to enter the new year, to think about how Krishna dealt with the snake and feel free from fear, feel free from anxieties, because you know, if I turn to Krishna, he can take care of all the difficulties. He took care of Kaliya, who, according to the descriptions, was really, I mean, he was really the most heavy of all the demons. He was, oh my, thousands of hoots, you know. And he lived in this lake. He was 8 miles long. That's long, and he had all this poison, you know. No problem. Krishna played with him. Krishna playfully did it. All right, it's amazing. We have every day we are exactly finished at 9:20, not earlier and not later. I don't know what happened with the time. Let me just see, because it's the end. Is there one question which is really representing the audience? Chaitanya Rasa, I hope you will not disappoint us. Have you heard the question? I think it's a very good question. Chaitanya Rasa said, yesterday we heard a verse where it said, even if you rightfully criticize, in other words, if what you criticize is true, you get reactions for that. It's not good. And if you criticize and it's untrue, then you get a big amount of reaction. But still, he says, we are in situations where we have to correct as a temple president, father, such situations, or we have a project and we need to see that the project stays on course, otherwise it could be a huge loss, and so on. So if I could comment on this, I must say I am by nature a little fault finding. That comes together with my inquisitiveness and my liking to go everywhere with my thoughts. And I personally could tell you what helped me very much. It is once I read that a devotee writing, very devotional, I have not come to this world to reform others. That's not the purpose why I have come. I have come to this world to reform my own heart. And you know, when I was Christmas with my parents, we discussed one point. They asked me, so please tell us, what is your recent insights? What are you thinking nowadays of? And I told them very honestly. It was just mother, father, and myself sitting there. I said, see, when I started on this Krishna conscious adventure, I thought I should convert the whole world. You know, I should take over the world. I sometimes used to say to Adi Shesh, wir müssen die Welt übernehmen. We have to conquer the world. Remember? I used to often say it. We have to conquer the world. Then, as I become older, I understood that's not so easily possible. At least for 40 years, it seemed to not have happened, you know, in great detail, at least not. So then I thought, well, let me try to reform the Hare Krishna movement. You know, and there was this period where I sometimes would criticize and I would say, you don't chant, you Hare Krishnas. Come and to this japa workshop, learn to chant. Do you remember these heavy words I would sometimes say? Let me try to reform the Hare Krishna movement. Then I thought, who am I to do this? Then I thought, well, at least let me try to reform my disciples. Let me work with them. Then I noticed something, which first I was not sure about, but then by now I'm very sure. I noticed that sometimes I wanted to tell those who are students that don't go this way. No need that you do this. You know, it will bring you a predictable result, which is not beneficial for your advancement. Don't go there. And I found out over the years that most need to make their own experiences. What I can do is give Krishna conscious inspirations and so on. And those who are extremely faithful, I can say, well, if you want to hear my opinion, my thing, I think you shouldn't do it. But many need to collect their own experience. Now listen very strongly, with Krishna consciousness, not without Krishna consciousness, with Krishna consciousness. And they will learn something in their evolutionary journey, which they will take with them as they leave this short flesh-like life, and they will have learned something. Let me say again, because I don't want to be misunderstood, especially not by those who listen very quickly to tapes and not make and go. what I feel is the duty of a spiritual teacher is to give Krishna conscious, but sometimes he will have to, most of the time, he has to help people to go through their lives, to face their challenges, to help them to do their work, to move with their issues, with Krishna conscious. And this Krishna consciousness, according to time, place and circumstances, that means that he has to give them that Krishna conscious advice which will change everything around. That is what I have understood. So I understood, I told to my mother, I can't even reform those who have come and said they would like to be my students. Now I think, let me reform my own heart. My mother looked like this, my father. And then my father said something. He said, congratulations. He just said that, herzlichen Glückwunsch. You know. But then I said, I'm not finished. I told them, and do you know what I have learned in my life? If I work on my own heart, in other words, if I try to become a good devotee, then everyone around feels something. Oops. Something has changed with Sachinandan Swami. He tries to be a devotee. And they say, well, maybe I should also become a little bit more serious. It's then and only then when there is strength in what you say, when you live it yourself, when you reform your heart, Chaitanya Rasa, then you have strength when you tell your little girl, don't play with fire, it's very dangerous, you know, or when you take the role in your wonderful yoga expos where you tell devotees, we told you, don't come in this dress which you think is devotional but which really looks like a gypsy, you know. This, of course, we don't say, you know, but I sometimes say such things, you know. I told you, we are trying to preach to new people, you know, please. You know, then when you criticize like this, you know, and you are yourself strong, they will, oh yes. It is not difficult to listen to someone who is living it himself. Yeah. That is my experience. So I'm thinking, I'm so indebted to this devotee who said, I've not come to this world to reform all others. I have come to this world to reform myself. And then I'm thinking, the others can better be reformed by Krishna. And they will be. Do you know that all of us here, they are, the eyes of God are on them. And every pride person, that's what the Lord does, will experience that it's not to be good to be proudful. Latest at the moment, when we leave this short chapter called One Life and close the book of that life, then we will notice pride didn't bring me anywhere. Oh, Krishna, I hope there's someone to help. So, this sounds like Arjuna, you know, the small Russian boy who has a strong voice. So yes, Krishna, let Krishna reform all others. Let me reform my heart. Once that is there, you can do your duties. I also remember, Chaitanya Rasa, I have to sometimes criticize devotees, and I really don't like to do this. It's the hardest service for me. Oh, now again I have to say something. Oh, no. So on. But yes, it's service. But first that here. This has helped me. I'm not very good in it. I'm just starting to reform my heart. But I'm trying. Let us end here.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Kaliya Damana Leela ki jai. Shri Krishna's dancing ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.